looked angry. "You never would eat no grits."
"I eat them sometimes," I said, feeling that we should somehow be spending this time together on better things. "Tell me something. What's new in Jenkinsville?"
"Same old town it's always been, honey. When the Bible says that there ain't nothing new under the sun, I think they must have had Jenkinsville in mind."
Ruth laughed, enjoying her own joke. When her face resettled, she added,
"Tell you this, I got myself a new job. Keeps house for the colored school teacher, Miss Cora May Ford. You knows her?"
I said that I did, while the feeling of betrayal swept over me. Ruth went on.
"She and her husband, Robert, he's got himself a good job, too. Drives one of them trucks for Dixie Transport. Well, they got themselves three of the cutest children. Now the baby, Michael Augustus, ain't even walking yet, and I declare if he ain't about the sweetest little thing I ever did see."
I told myself to forget it. Ruth didn't just up and desert me, remember that. She was fired. Fired. She has to make a living, get along as best as she can. And if she didn't care for me, would she have made this long trip just to see me? "How did you ever manage to get here, Ruth?" Her eyes grew wide and the gloss disappeared. It must have had something to do with how the light from the window struck her eyes.
"Would you ever think that your old Ruth would come a-visitin' in a big vehicle driven by a chauffeur?"
"Really? You're kidding me." She put a look of mock disgust on her face.
"Well, if an a-greyhound bus ain't a big vehicle, and if an a-uniformed driver ain't a chauffeur, then I don't know much of nothing no more."
I felt the muscles about my mouth tugging upward into an unnatural, or at least seldom used, position. "I'm really glad you came to see me. Must have been a long trip."
"No," said Ruth. "Wasn't too long, 'cause I got to see me places I ain't never seed before. Heard about, but never seed. Places like Wind City, Jonesboro, Bolton, places like that."
She suddenly jumped up and rushed across the room to a red and white striped shopping bag. Reaching low into the bag, she brought out a box whose lettering was clearly readable through the white tissue paper wrappings. "Ginger snaps. Thanks. You know they're my very favorites." I gave Ruth a quick hug. "I'm sorry I don't have anything for you this year, but I didn't get to do any Christmas shopping."
"Now that don't make no never mind, Patty Babe, 'cause come next Christmas I'm gonna give you a list more 6 feet long. But right now I got you a little something else."
She reached into her shopping bag to bring out a yellow shoebox tied with red paper ribbon. I broke the string to find a whole family of fried chicken breasts, each one sitting on its very own pink paper napkin.
"Nothing there but the breasts," she said. "See? Ruth remembers."
And I saw, too, that Ruth had remembered her own rule about the proper frying of chicken.
"Secret is," she used to say, "to fry it, and fry it done in cornmeal."
And while the chicken fried, there was something else she always did. She'd break an egg or two into a bowl of cornmeal, throw in a chopped-up onion, and then she'd drop spoonfuls of the batter into the pan next to the chicken. Hush, puppies. I don't think I ever in my life had fried chicken without them. I pinched off a crispy piece of skin and placed it on my tongue. "Haven't had anything this good since I've been here."
"Miss Bergen, she been up visiting you?"
Ruth's question sounded vaguely disloyal. Maybe because any true answer would be pointedly disloyal. She's got a bad back. Says long trips make it worse. Have you seen her? Any of them? Her face brightened.
In the Shavemore Market a couple of Fridays ago, I heard this little voice a-callin', Ruth! Ruth! And when I turns around, sweet little Sharon comes a-rushin' to my arms. Ruth, she says to me, where you been so long?
She shook her head like she was still short an answer.
Poor little thing. And her all the time asking, where you been so long?
You saw my mother, too?
I surely did. She was nice to me, too. Said she was glad to see I was getting on all right. I remembers more'n 15 years ago when your folks moved to Jenkinsville to open the store. Folks, white and colored, said Miss Bergen was the best-looking woman to ever come to town, and I reckon she still is.
She say anything, Ruth? I mean, did she mention me at all? Ruth looked surprised.
Why, sure she did, honey. You're her daughter, ain't you?
What did she say?
Why, she said about what any mother would say.
I waited to see if Ruth was going to add anything more, 'cause vagueness wasn't exactly her natural state. I watched while she looked down and began adjusting the gold band on her left hand. Ruth, I would very much appreciate your telling me the truth. The whole truth. Please.
Patty, honey, I ain't never lied to you, and I ain't gonna start lying now. But the truth be known, Miss Bergen didn't say too much. But I'll tell you everything I recollect. Well, let's see now,
she said, warming up.
Told me she gets letters from you, and how you always say you're getting along fine.
I nodded yes.
And she told me how she just sent off a sweater to you through the mails.
It's the one I'm wearing. Ruth looked at the sweater, and I hoped that I hadn't distracted her. Then she gave me a look like she had turned a little shy.
And Miss Bergen said,
Ruth gave her wedding band a full turn.
She said I was the only one knows how to handle you.
Anger blazed within me. That's all they ever think about, handling me, controlling me. Why can't they just let me be? I watched Ruth shake her head like she didn't quite know what to say anymore. But I felt like I just had to ask her the question I was always asking myself. Ruth, I want you to tell me something. You know me better than anybody else. What's really wrong with me?
Oh, honey, babe.
Ruth shook her head like she was trying to shake my words from her ears.
There ain't nothing wrong with you. Nothing a few years and a few pounds won't take care of.
There's gotta be. My voice was high enough for scaling mountains. There's just gotta be something, or I wouldn't always be getting into trouble, having people hate me.
When you get older, you're gonna see that sometimes it looks like most of the good folks done gone and acquired most of the troubles. Yes, sirree. Even the Lord Jesus could have avoided getting himself crucified if he could have learned to stay out of trouble.
It sounded as though Ruth was pretty close to blasphemy, and I searched her face for a secret sign made only to God that she was just kidding. She gave me a squeeze.
Sometimes I sure wish you knew how to go pussyfootin' around your pa and your ma. But then I says to myself, if Patty learned pussyfootin', then it wouldn't hardly be Patty no more.
Even if you don't know for 100% positive sure, I encouraged, there must be things that you suspect about me. And if I knew, I'd begin working on ridding myself of them. Only first I've got to be sure what's wrong.
Don't ask me to tell you something I don't know. There ain't nothing bad about you, and that's the God's truth. I've cared for chillin' white, and I've cared for chillin' black. I've loved every single one of 'em. But nary a one as much as you, Patty Babe. Nary a single one.
You couldn't love me as much as you do, Sharon.
Don't you go telling me what I couldn't do, 'cause I knows what I knows. And from that first day I walked into your house, I loved you the most, and I love you the most today.
It's so hard to believe.
Why, I ain't even the only one. He loved you. Anton did. With my own eyes, I saw that man come rushing out of his hiding place to save you. And I saw his face. And I ain't never gonna forget what was written there, 'cause it said I'd give my own life to save her.
Maybe that's true. He gave me his ring so I'd never forget that he loved me, and that I was a person of value. Only thing is, I lost the ring, and then gradually I guess I lost its meaning. Ruth snapped open her pocketbook.
Honey, babe, you didn't lose your ring. I heard you tell that to the man from the FBI, and you must have told that story so many times you come to believe it.
She held up the ring.
You gave me this for safekeeping when I told you your pa was coming home to see you. Remember?
I brought his ring to my lips, barely believing it. He did love me, I said to Ruth. And maybe one day my mother and father will, too. Ruth's eyes came level with mine, and I could feel her resources rushing forward like frontline soldiers to battle.
I never forecast me no aspersions on other folks' folks, she said slowly. But your folks ain't never gonna feel nothing good regarding you. And they ain't the number one best quality folks, neither. They sure ain't. When I go shopping, and I sees the label stamped irregular or seconds, then I knows I won't have to pay so much for it. But you've got yourself some irregular seconds, folks, and you've been paying more than top dollar for them. So just don't go a-wishing for what ain't never gonna be.
But I always thought it was me, because I was bad.
You ain't bad.
I kissed my ring again, and then gave Ruth the strongest squeeze I could manage. Nothing has changed, but I feel different. Good, like a good person. And that was what all the whispering was about.
What whispering you talking about?
Every so often, there's this whispering going on inside me. And whispering's always so soft, I could never make it out before.
Was it God a-speaking to you?
Asked Ruth, her eyes wide. I never thought about it being God. What would God be wasting his time with a 12-year-old for? I don't think, I said, that God would whisper, do you? Ruth pressed her lips together.
The ways of the Lord are filled with wonder and mystery.
Well, just the same, it didn't sound like God. I think, actually, it was truth. Truth growing inside like a baby. And for a long time it was just too little, too weak to say anything. But day by day it gained strength.
And to what use is you gonna put this truth?
Well, maybe. I don't know right at this moment. But I do know that in spite of everything I did, and everything people say about me, I don't feel bad. Not anymore. I'm not bad. And right now that seems important. Ruth drew me to her, and I could tell that she understood, too. Chapter 21. Together we watched an icy rain make slapping sounds against the window. After a while, Ruth said something, something about her galoshes, which I didn't quite hear, probably because I'd become too deeply encased in comfort. With my eyes closed, feeling the warmth of Ruth against me, I could believe in so many things. Ruth had never been fired, I had never been found out, and Anton had never been killed. He was waiting for me now, alive in the hideout, and when night came we'd go away. Morocco or Mexico, somewhere, anywhere, together.
And I was halfways out the door when I said to myself, ain't no guarantees about no weather, so I went right back and got 'em.
Good idea, I said. I'm glad you remembered. We fell into quiet again, and it was comfortable. Then Ruth began humming, and soon she found the words.
Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Glory, hallelujah.
I don't want to go home again, I said with a suddenness that surprised even me.
Well, you ain't got nowhere else for going. You's too old for adopting and too young for marrying.
Even so, she looked me full in the face.
Even so what? What are you planning on doing, girl?
I'm not planning on anything, 'cause I can't think of anything to plan on. I just don't want to look back. If they didn't like me before all this happened, they're sure not going to love me now. So what I was thinking was I might get a job. Go somewhere.
So you thought you'd up and run away and find yourself a job. That what you thought, girl?
I recognized her "I ain't gonna listen to none of your nonsense" voice.
Well, now, I'm right glad you told me, 'cause old Ruth can tell you something. I keeps a clean house, minds the chillin', and cooks the evening supper. And for doing all these things, it takes me 6 work days to earn $7.50. Now, how many of those things can you do? And how much you reckon you be earning for doing them?
There are other jobs.
There's plenty more jobs. They got judges, doctors, and sheriffs. Which one you qualified for, girl?
There has to be something.
There is something. Now you listen hard, 'cause Ruth gonna tell you just like I tell my own child, which you is. You is going back home and finishing up with your high school education. Never you mind what folks say. Most folks don't know what they is saying nohow. Then you tells your daddy that you wants to go away to college to be something. And you be something. A teacher or a nurse. Don't matter what you takes a notion to being as long as it's something.
I know there's something I'd like to be, I said, pausing just long enough to build interest. A reporter. I already have my first assignment and my nom de plume, too.
Your what?
Nom de plume. Pen name. What do you think of Antonia Alexander?
Antonia Alexander,
repeated Ruth, like she was tasting the words.
Mighty fancy.
I was pleased that its elegance hadn't escaped her. I got the Antonia from Anton, and I picked Alexander because of the alliteration, both names starting with the same letter.
What is you fixin' to write?
An article about the conditions at the Bolton Reformatory for the Memphis Commercial Appeal. I checked Ruth's face to see if she was impressed as I was. Charlene Madley said if it was good, they'd run the story in their Arkansas edition.
I's glad, honey babe. You sure is gonna be something.
Ruth gave a sigh filled with pride for my future accomplishments.
And then you won't have to go home ever again, lessen you want to.
I guess sometime I'll have to come home again to see you. I heard the footsteps first and then the rattling of the keys. Miss Laud appeared in the archway.
Visiting time is over. Separate and leave immediately.
Not yet, Miss Laud, please. Ruth just now got here.
She has been here for 30 minutes. Her time is up. Leave immediately.
I knew I was going to beg. Miss Laud, please, she came so far. She's the only visitor I've had since I've been here, and she's the only one I'm gonna get, I know. The cracks sounded in my voice.
Miss Laud, if you'd kindly be so kind.
Ruth knew what to say. She'd listen to Ruth.
As to give us a few more minutes to say our last-minute things, that'd help make the parting less hurtful.
Miss Laud's eyes jumped, all the time jumping from Ruth to me and back again. Something about them I saw for the first time. There was the palest circle of blue surrounding pupils the size of points on an ice pick. Miss Laud raised a trembling finger and pointed it toward me.
That's why you're in trouble. Not happy getting what others got, are you?
She shook her head.
Trouble is, you're a greedy, spoiled girl. Don't like anything we try to give you, do you? Don't like our religion, don't like our laundry, and you don't think our food is worth eating. You told that to one of the girls, didn't you? Tell the truth.
She waited for me to answer her charges, but the only answer I gave was a direct stare. She wet her lips with her tongue.
Truth is, you only like niggers and Nazis.
Miss Laud,
said Ruth in as loud a voice as I'd ever heard her use.
Leave the child alone. I's a-goin' now. See me goin'?
I threw my arms around Ruth's neck. Take me with you. Find a way to take me with you.
Shush, honey. Babe, shush now.
Don't leave me here, Ruth. Please, please don't leave me alone.
Honey, babe, you know better than to ask Ruth to do what she just ain't got the power to do.
Ruth patted my cheeks as she wiped away the wetness.
Everything gonna be all right.
She whispered.
One fine day, You is gonna wake up, and your heart gonna rise up singing. Everything gonna be all right.
Wallace, shouted Miss Laud. Wallace, Rogers, here, come here.
I hung on to Ruth with all my might. She was my life raft, and without her the icy waters were waiting to pull me under. Footsteps raced across linoleum. As Matron Wallace and Matron Rogers came through the archway, Ruth raised her hand as though she was stopping traffic.
You leave this child be. Now I'm a-telling you, just leave this child be.
The traffic stopped short. The matrons looked as though their very breath had been sucked out of them.
It just seems like, said Ruth under her breath, yet loud enough for hearing, some white folks ain't never learned how to be decent.
And with her arm around my waist and her strength supporting my weakness, she led me through the archway and into the center hall.
You go on back to your room, Patty Babe, she whispered. You go on back.
The three matrons had followed us at a respectful distance, but Miss Laud's distance was the most respectful of all. Suddenly, Ruth whirled on her.
Miss Laud, the red shopping bag in the waiting room. Patty's Christmas. Will you fetch it, please?
The head matron looked confused. She turned to Matron Wallace.
Well, get it, Wallace. Don't just stand there. Go get the bag.
Then Miss Laud started up the flight of stairs, followed closely by Miss Rogers. As soon as Miss Wallace dropped the bag at Ruth's feet, she took the stairs, two at a time. And it was just Ruth and me.
I reckon they is gonna give us our goodbye time after all, said Ruth.
I tried to sound all put back together. Well, Ruth, I sure do appreciate your visit. She gave me some gentle pats on the back.
And you be strong, and don't let them folks get you down, 'cause better times are coming for you. I feels it in my bones.
Do you really? You really and truly think so?
I sure enough do.
Yet Ruth's face was filled with the deepest kind of sadness. And for you, Ruth, are better times coming for you, too?
Mostly things don't get no better for old colored ladies.
Oh, but I want them to be. I want everything to be good for you. Everything. She turned her head.
Goodbye, honey babe.
She released her hold on me, and where her arms had been turned cold. It felt as though something inside me were being torn away. I watched her walk with careful steps back to the bench where she had left her belongings. And watching her, she seemed older and more fragile than I had remembered. Suddenly, I had to give her something, something like the world. I quickly indexed the valuables from my upstairs room, the blue Schaefer pen and pencil set, a birthday present from my grandparents, a collection of the short stories of Guy de Maupassant, and Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Nothing there for Ruth. She moved slowly towards the door, buttoning her gray coat. I don't have anything to give you, I said, I have nothing at all to give you.
You've got love to give, honey babe. Ain't nothing better than that.
Just the same, I wish I could. Say, how about taking back some of the chicken breasts to eat on the bus? She clicked open her simulated alligator pocketbook, giving me a view of the inside.
I got me a tuna fish sandwich and a hard-boiled egg, and I reckon that's plenty for me. Thank you kindly.
Then Ruth reached out, patted my cheek, and with aging steps moved towards the door. I watched her. It was like watching my very own life raft floating away towards the open sea. And yet somewhere in my mind's eye, I thought I could see the faintest outline of land. Then it came to me that maybe that's the only thing life rafts are supposed to do. Taking the shipwrecked, not exactly to the land, but only in view of land. The final mile being theirs alone to swim. As Ruth pulled open the heavy front door, my heart felt as though it was spilling over with so many things I wanted to say. But I didn't have the words for a single one of them. For a moment I thought I was about to call out, "Goodbye," but I didn't. The door closed, and the moment and Ruth were gone. For moments or minutes I stood there, not really moving, barely managing to tread water. Was it possible for a beginning swimmer to actually make it to shore? It might take me my whole lifetime to find out.
The End. You've been listening to Summer of My German Soldier by Betty Green, narrated by Dale Dickey. This work is copyrighted 1973 by Betty Green. This recording is copyrighted 1995 by Recorded Books. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Patty's story continues in Morning is a Long Time Coming, also narrated by Dale Dickey. You'll find a wide selection of titles in the Recorded Books catalog, including bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. So to order another recorded book, or for a copy of our latest listing, please call us using the toll-free number found on the back of the book. You can order by phone with any major credit card, or by writing to us, or by faxing us. Don't forget to ask about easy 30-day rentals by mail. On our website, you can browse the catalog, hear about the latest releases, place orders, or tune into narrator profiles and author interviews. So visit us there at www.recordedbooks.com. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.